So we have about 2 weeks left, this week and next week, working through some big questions. Maybe they're ones you've asked Alexa and didn't get an answer on. So we've been trying to help you as we've been going through kind of the book of Romans, really fast, really quick, hitting different things here and there, talking about these questions and trying to find some answers that can help us and direct us and guide us. So last week, if you weren't here, really, really important question. What if bad things happen to people who are following Jesus? Have you ever been there? And we talked about pain, loss, and grief, and how they just mess us up as followers of Jesus, and what God can do through that. Here's how we ended last week. The bad things happen in a world of death and decay, but God works in and through the bad and does great good if we trust Him. And too often this pushing away that we like to do is our way of saying, I don't know, God, if I can trust you in the midst of what's going on. It's so difficult. It's so hard. It's just too much, and I'm not certain how to deal with this and what to do about it, and we tend to push them away, and God so often wants to speak into those moments. So perhaps if you've been in one of those moments, you know, or have experienced one in the past, or might in the future, this is a great place to land. Romans 8, we just encourage you to get 8:28 and just memorize it and learn it so you have it as a base for when these things happen in your life. Today's question is why me? Not why me, why did I end up in Indianola, Iowa, okay? That's not the question, okay? It's a little different, a little bigger than that. I'm going to phrase it this way, really answer two parts, okay? Why would God use me and why would God love me? I think that those can combine together at times when we would ask why me? Why would God want to use me and why would God choose to love me? Sometimes I think we get confused about that and we look at our lives and we think, gosh, God, there's got to be better candidates than me, okay, that have a better package, a better resume, who have it all together, who figured everything out. There's got to be some people better than me. And what I want to just kind of urge you to understand today is that I think this is Paul's story, and he kind of alludes to it in Romans, basically what God did through him. But we got to remember that Paul's journey started, and I like to use this phrase, as Saul the terrorist, okay? He is destroying the church. He is throwing people in jail. At one point, we see him there making sure that Stephen, this first, early church deacon who's out there proclaiming the gospel, that he is killed. He oversees his death, and he is on his way to Damascus to continue, okay? It's almost like, well, I've run out of options in Jerusalem. I need a new town, okay, to go blow up a church. That's what he was all about. And so when you know his backstory, and then you see what he does the entire rest of the New Testament, this narrative we're getting, don't you think he ever asked that question? Like, God, I have no idea. Wow, this is just amazing what you did, okay? How you used me. And maybe he wondered why. I think there's better candidates. Maybe people can speak better and get things right. And I just have to wonder, because of his backstory, if he ever asked that question and why, and wondered why God used him, and God used him in such a way that he did. In fact, this is where it begins for Paul, who's known as Saul. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel. Saul wasn't told this. This was told to somebody else who gets to tell Saul. Saul, God's got this incredible plan for you. I don't understand it. I'm scared to death of you, okay? I'm just worried you're going to blow everything up. But God is going to use you and do something incredible in and through you. And this is how it starts. His entire transformation of Saul meeting the resurrected Lord and God changing the course and direction of his life. It's a phrase I like to call being uniquely positioned. This fits everybody in the room, okay? That we can see our experiences, our background, our family, everything that God can use it in an incredible way. That all of a sudden the story makes sense when we hand things over to God and God starts to put things together and work in our life. It's a phrase I like to use because I think it helps us understand guys like Saul, who maybe wondered growing up, why do I ever live in Tarshish? I'm a Jew. I'd rather live in Jerusalem. Why do I got to go to university in Tarshish? Why can't I do something else? Why don't I learn this stupid language called Greek anyway? Hey, I'm a Jew. I just want to learn Hebrew. And I wonder if you just ask some of those questions and then everything gets put together and he watches God change the course and direction of his life. And he really finds that, oh, I was uniquely created for this moment. You ever read this verse in Psalms 139? Young little Saul would have grown up in going to church, okay? Going to synagogue every Saturday. He would have heard this verse. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb, okay? And what he would have been told about that, sitting there in synagogue, Saul, do you understand? And the rabbi would have taught this, that God saw what the world needed and gifted us to meet those needs. That is the picture behind Psalms 139. That's what God is doing. That he looks and he says, I know what the world needs, and I'm going to gift you to meet those needs. And if you trust me with the story that I'm writing, I am going to do something great in and through you. That's how little Saul, sitting in synagogue, growing up, would have heard Psalms 139 and been challenged. Will you let God do that for you? Will you let God write your story? And will you let God do something like that in your life? Most of us, could we be honest? We don't think this way. When's the last time you thought, wow, okay, when I was born, God saw what the world needed and gifted me to meet those needs. We don't think that way. Sometimes we think, oh, that's a little arrogant. No, not when God is behind the whole thing, okay? Because it's not about me. It's about God. It's about God seeing and God gifting and God doing and God doing through me in order to get all the glory. But most of us, we don't think this way. Because some of you were told you were an accident. Your birth shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have taken place. You know, the circumstances behind it were iffy, and it shouldn't have happened. It shouldn't have taken place. And perhaps if you grew up in a different area, in a different time period, your life wouldn't have happened because we have ways to end that now. All sorts of different things. I think we miss this idea big time. That God has gifted us and put us together, and if we trust him with the story that he is writing, our lives will make the most sense, the story will come together, and God will get ultimately the glory. This is not about me getting praise, not me getting lifted up, it's about God getting all the glory for what he wants to do in my life. Uniquely positioned, that my family, my background, my experiences and my talents can be used for God's glory. Now look at that list. My family, my background, my experiences, my talents. If you ever wondered, you know, why was I born in the family I was born in, and why did I have these experiences, and you know, my background, and here's these, you know, things I can do, and I don't know what to do with any of them, that all of those are a package that God wants to put together to be used for his glory. If we will trust him with the story that he wants to write and kind of just surrender ourselves and say, okay, God, I don't understand. I don't understand, okay? But remember, here's his charge. Go, because this man, Saul, is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the people of Israel. And I wonder if when he heard this, things started making sense for young little Saul, who would then use the name Paul. Oh, is that why I went to university in Tarshish? So I would know how the Greek world works? So when I walk into a city like Ephesus, I understand how it works, I understand its language, I understand its culture, and I know best how to communicate the gospel to that. Is that why I was brought up under this guy by the name of Gamaliel, who would teach me the way of the Jews? That he would train me, so when I would go to a city like Ephesus, the first place I'd go is a synagogue and help them understand Messiah has come. I wonder just if everything started making sense for Saul because of the way God put everything together and took everything in his life when he was willing to trust the story and he was God's chosen instrument to the Gentiles. Okay? A brief survey. View of Paul's family, education, and background leave no doubt that God was putting all this together. That God on that day got a man surrendered and said, okay, you can have it all, God. And he's like, finally, I have been waiting for this moment. I have an incredible story to write, Paul. And if you would just trust me, I am going to write an incredible story. And everything that didn't make sense, maybe will make sense, and maybe it won't, but trust my story. Because I want to put all of this together and do something great. And do you know what God did for Paul? He desires to do for us. Doesn't matter who you are. That God, I so believe God desires to do this for us. To understand and to help us put everything in our life. And if we would just trust him with the story, that he has something great in store. He wants to use us for his glory to do something in the world in which we live. And it may not be big, it may not be huge, it may not write a book or stand on a stage, and that does not invalidate at all your story. It means your story's different. We all have different stories, and God is writing that. And if we trust him, I think he would do something incredible. Now, I'm going to tell you two things that stand in the way. Comparison and complaining. Okay? They just stand in the way. They stand in the way of this all the time. Okay? Just start with your family. Okay? Now, this is an honest moment. We're in church, and it's okay if your parents are in the room. Okay? Who wish they had different parents at some point in their life? Okay? It's okay. You can raise your hands. Okay? We're in church, right? Right? Most of us did, right? Because why? Well, somebody else got to do something I couldn't do, right? Because my parents told me I couldn't do that. It's not fair because if I lived in so-and-so's house, I could have done that. And we complained. And maybe we compared that, gosh, that family got to do more. Okay? They got to have bigger and funner vacations than we got to have. That's not fair, okay? And so these two things, I think, a big part keep us from what God wants to do in writing that story. We wish our family were different. We wish our experiences were different. We wish our background was different. Some of us have big regret. Oh, I wasted all that time in college. That was stupid. I'm not doing anything now. No, maybe God wants to use that now. And instead, we tend to compare and complain, and we tend to devalue things that have happened in our life that God would love to say, would you just trust those with me? Because I'd love to write a different story. And if you would just trust me with those things, I want to write a story, an incredible story that brings me all the glory, that does some incredible things through you, but I get the glory in the end. Would you trust me with your story? I think that's the question God's asking. And I'm wondering what we do with that. And how much comparison and complaining is keeping us from trusting God with our lives. Because I think this question of why me goes away when we understand that the story God is writing is incredible. And if I would just trust him, he would make sense of everything and put it all together and do something incredible in and through it. So, I want you to see this in just a few verses here in the book of Romans that Paul is talking about. Because Paul embraced, he ended up embracing the story that God was writing. Okay? Because finally, perhaps it all made sense. Perhaps all the pieces started falling together and it started to make sense. Okay? So, here's one example. Dear brothers and sisters, the longing of my heart and my prayer to God is for the people of Israel to be saved. One of his things. Isn't that interesting? In the beginning, he's what? He's supposed to go to Gentiles. He's also supposed to speak to Israel. And why in every city he started in the synagogue, right? And he would help them understand, hey, Messiah has come. You need to embrace this story. And so here he's writing to the Romans. Do you know what my prayer is? I would love the people of Israel to be saved. For them to get a hold of the idea. The Messiah has come. His name was Jesus. He died. He rose again. He ascended. He sits at the right hand of the Father. And it is an incredible story. I just want them to trust that. Because you know what he ran into over and over again? They didn't. Oh, no, Messiah hasn't come. No, it wasn't Jesus. And they pushed that aside. Pushed that aside. Do you know there's still people today? There's still organizations today that they have this type of prayer and longing. And they're looking for ways to continue to reach out to people from Israel, people who are Jewish, and tell them the story of Jesus. That they would understand Messiah has come. Trust him. Place your life in his hands. He did come. All the prophecies were fulfilled in him. And there's still organizations do it today. But do you understand? Here's Paul's prayer that he wants to see that happen, all part of his calling and what God is doing. I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach others all about them. So he's talking about teaching, right? Even so, I have been bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all of you need, that all you need is this reminder. For by God's grace, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. See, this is how I know he embraced what happened that day in Damascus. Because he's writing it out. Here it is, okay? I get to do this. Does he get to do this because he's Paul and he's famous? And he's, no. But by God's grace, this is how our story starts, is with grace. We understand that God loves us so much and he pours out his grace. And if we would just trust him with our stories, he would be doing something great in and through us. So Paul said, it's all by his grace. I get to be a special messenger to the Gentiles. I get to write to you. I get to talk to you. I get to help you understand all that God is doing. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. I am bringing you the good news. This is what God called me to do. This is my calling. This is why I was put here. This is what God saw as the biggest need and knit me together and put me together to do this. So I have reason to be enthusiastic about what all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. He was enthusiastic. It excited him to see what God was doing. That all of a sudden Saul the terrorist, who that's the projection of his life. I'm just here to arrest people and throw people in jail, right? That was his whole life mission. And he gets so flipped around one day and everything changed that he was excited about this. I get to go, I get to travel, I get to walk into towns and see churches get started, and I get to see people come to know Christ, and it just excited him, all that God was doing. And I think because of that, all those widening questions that maybe surfaced before him, God, I don't know why he used me, he just saw that God was working through him in such a powerful way. It just excited his life that God would use him and that God would do that through him. And I wonder, if we would trust the story that God is writing, would we be enthusiastic again how God was working in and through us? And going, wow, I can't believe God did that. That's amazing that he just took all of that and put it together, and I get to do what he's asked me to do. Isn't that exciting? Okay? Isn't that incredible? It would give our life such meaning and purpose that we've probably never experienced before. If we would trust him in the story that he is writing, look at this, he's enthusiastic about it. Yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. He is now thanking God for this story that's being written through him that is making this huge difference throughout the Gentiles. And he's like, I'm not here to boast about Paul. This is not Paul is awesome, Paul is great, okay? This is no. It's about God is awesome, God is great. Jesus has done everything for us. And if we would just trust him and put our faith in him. And he says, I'm watching as God is doing this incredible work. Because God has that plan and that purpose. If you and I would just let him work in and through us. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. In this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Illyricum. I just kept doing it every place I went, okay? And this is kind of how he ends this section. My ambition, okay? Paul, why do you get up every morning? I get up for this, okay? This is what I get up for. Because tomorrow's another day that God is going to write his story, okay? This is my ambition. This is why I get up. Has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. Okay? I love going into a city, know that nobody knows the name of Jesus. Woo! This is going to be great. Okay? And he starts in and he's excited about what he's doing. That was his ambition. Where it's never been heard, rather than where the church has already been started by someone else. Because sometimes there were towns where churches were started by somebody else. And Paul never got to go there. He never went there because his ambition was, how do I go in more places? That God is writing this incredible story through me, and I get to wake up every day and see, what is God going to do today? So much so that we're told at the end, when Paul is in chains and he is in Rome, he just started converting the people around him, right? He just started teaching the people around him. Oh, you're going to give me Roman soldiers today to guard me? Yes, okay? This is fresh meat, okay? This is my ambition. This is what I live for, to see what God might do in the lives of these soldiers that are just meant here to guard me and make sure I don't escape. Fine, I will tell them. Because he so got a hold of this story that God was writing in and through him. So Paul embraced his unique position and trusted the story that God was writing. So much so, I'm enthusiastic, I'm ambition, that my ambition is to do this. It just centered and got a hold of his life, and he understood that God took everything and put it together in incredible ways. So, now my question to you. Do we do this? Do we embrace our unique position? That the family we grew up in, our background, our experiences, our talents, that if we would just offer them up to God, God would take that and do something great. He wants to, because he's been writing a story, if we would trust him. But remember those two pesky things, that comparison and complaining, that just kind of get in the way of us doing that, right? Because, well, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Someone's doing it better than me, or, you know, someone has a better story, someone has a better thing. It's just amazing. And when you understand this, okay, you begin to see how God has done this in others. So it's probably been a couple years ago now that Steve came and talked about the ministry that he was leading in China, and had some of the things they have here, the rocking motorcycles, the big thing they sell, and help train more pastors. Well, China's gotten more and more hostile, just incredibly so, so that he can't go like he normally did. But he just went recently and was able to go in, help the factory get ready to get moved, and got out before they basically shut down the whole country. We quarantined him for like a month and said, stay away from everybody, but he was okay. So he did that, okay? And so he's telling the story. Now, if you remember when Steve was here, Steve told a little bit about his testimony, okay? And, you know, the drug smuggling he was involved in, right? All this stuff, right? And his backstory and all this illegal things, okay? So just think about this. In order to help a group of people wanting to follow Jesus in a country where it's illegal. You need to know that. It's illegal. Okay? I don't care what CNN, what Fox News tells you about China. They're all wrong. Okay? They don't know. They don't know. Okay? This is a government that if it finds where Christians are meeting, it bulldozes their buildings. Okay? It's what it does. And it doesn't wait, and it doesn't need a court order. It bulldozes them the next day. Okay? It fingerprints everybody, takes a picture of everybody, because they have facial rec everywhere. And that's what they are looking to do. Okay? If the church will sign a document that says, we will teach only what the government of China tells us to teach, they can be a church. Which, well, I don't know, isn't a church. Okay? So this is what's happening in China. Okay? So who does God use? And who does God take a life and redeem, who end up in prison for smuggling, a guy who could smuggle around enough to get a place going and to keep it going, and some of the stuff they have to do in the factory is unbelievable, okay? To know how to protect the pastors that are trying to learn there, who are starting home churches, all of that. And I'm just listening to this story go, man, God knows how to take a drug smuggler, right? And use them for incredible glory for his kingdom, okay? Now, what if Steve just said, oh, I've been in prison, smuggled drugs, I am no use to anybody. God, I will just sit in church every Sunday, okay? And I'll go work a job, and I'll go be a good Christian, and I will try not to mess anything up ever again. instead, okay, God, what if you just took this story of me messing up everything and do something great with it? What if you just do something great with it? What if you just did something totally unbelievable and took everything that happened and did something great with it? That's why I asked, do we embrace our unique position? Or is there too much stuff in our life where, oh no, God couldn't use that, and this is terrible, and I don't want anybody to know. And all of that, God wants to use in writing your story. And your story affecting other people and being about giving God glory and working through your life. Do you understand, and this is why I'm this morning, that God in his loving kindness, because this is all this is, because we screw up, we all mess up, right? But God in his loving kindness is writing an amazing story in our lives. And let me tell you how much this loving kindness is. He's not going to make you. Okay, come on, I got a really good story to write to you, so I'm going to force you, I'm going to twist your arm, and you're going to go along with this. No, he gives us a choice. And sadly, I think too many of us are choosing a story that's not what God wants to write. It might be a safe story, might be a comfort story, might be an easy story, but it's not the story that God wants to write. Because we look at too much of our life, and through comparison and complaining, have just negated most of it. And God looks and says, why don't you just trust me with that? Boy, I'd love to write a great story in and through you. And I'd like to reach people that nobody else can reach if you would let me do that. So can I just pray for us today? If you ever wondered why God would save me, why would he use me, I would just pray that you would embrace your unique position. That everything that's happened in your life, that God wants to write an incredible story in and through it, if you would simply trust him. So let's pray and ask God to do that today. And dear Heavenly Father, would you help us? Most of us, because of this mess up world we lived in, have been told that we're accidents, we're mistakes. Sometimes we get told by very good, well-meaning Christians that God couldn't use somebody like us. We get overlooked, we get pushed aside, and we forget about the story that you are writing. A story that takes our entire lives and everything gets used for your glory and our joy. But I'm afraid we just don't trust you enough to give you our lives. Complaining and comparison have kept us from embracing what you are doing. So perhaps today we would just in a little way surrender the story of our lives to you and ask you to do something great. That perhaps we would see our lives differently. That we would not see the story that sin wants to tell us, the lie that sin wants to tell us we are, but the story you want to write that is redeeming, incredible, and you can use in incredible ways for your glory. So we want to do that today. We want to surrender the story of our lives. We want to surrender our entire life to you and ask you to write an incredible story that only you can write. And help us to stop believing the lie that sin tells us we are. Because that lie just permeates. And it just causes us to sit there and do nothing when you are doing something great. So help us to embrace that today. To think about things maybe differently than we ever have before. And surrender our entire lives to you. That you would write an incredible story. And that we would trust you with all that has happened, all that you want to do, and everything that is about who we are. We thank you. We ask you to work in a powerful way. In Jesus' name, amen.